All right, Doctor.
I'm ready. You ready, Rod?
Pump it up, man.
Okay, we gotta get everyone ready. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Yes, sir. What? Thomas, what, Rod?
Your time is up. My time is now. You
yes,
can't
sir.
See me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You
what
can't
is?
See me. My time is.
Welcome, of course, to Talk Is Sports with.
Man, you could have kept
man.
That going, man. I was getting my dance going on over here, man.
Man, we got too much stuff to talk about, man. A lot of things going on. Of course, welcome to Talk Is Sports 12th and again. It is Tuesday, October the 16th. I am Andre Peterson, joined by the other host, Robert Ford, and we have a packed show for you guys tonight, as always. We want to thank you for joining in. Obviously, if you've been watching the presidential debates, it's a good time to kind of jump right in because that's over. So now you can focus on sports. We got a lot of things to discuss. Obviously, we got to talk about some NFL news, fantasy, college football, NBA, baseball playoffs. Man, we got a lot of things to do. Short thing. Robert, how you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great. One of the things we want to mention to our listeners real quick, or we can talk about anything that you all want to talk about. Feel free to call in any sports topics or questions that you may have. The number is 424-243-9519. Send us some questions on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. That's 12th Man, M-A-N, Sports, S-P-O-R-T-S. Send us any questions on Twitter. And, of course, you can send us some questions on Facebook. You can like us, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And, of course, all week long we have lots of information we post on Facebook and Twitter. Talk Sports, you can join in with us. And one of the things I want to mention real quick, we have a fantasy basketball league. We'll be having a draft on next Thursday night, which is, I believe, October 25th. We still have quite a few spaces available. For anyone that's interested, you can log on to Yahoo Sports. And our league ID is 48484, and the password is Ballers. And so join us. Our draft will be at 8 p.m. Eastern time on next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central. So for those of you all who are interested in competing with Andre and myself, along with quite a few others, in some fantasy basketball, please go ahead and sign up. And like I said, we have quite a few spaces available, and we have about 7 or 8 days, 9 days or so until the draft. But what's happening with you, Andre? I guess we can move on and kind of get the party started tonight.
Yeah, I like it. Good job with the announcements and giving us the show numbers and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, let's get this party started. So, first and foremost, let's talk about an interesting subject. If you guys didn't know, Mike Holmgren is officially out in Cleveland. For those that didn't know, Jimmy Haslam actually recently bought the team for all of my Cleveland fans out there, Browns fans, for a cool, I don't know what he bought it for, but basically he came in. He's going to do a little shakeup in the front office. He's going to bring in Joe Banner. Be part of the Philadelphia Eagles organization. So with that, Mike Holmgren is out. And the question for you, Rob, is what does this mean for the future of the Browns and kind of what happens with Holmgren's legacy?
One thing I want to change the subject real quick. That password for fantasy basketball is Ballers, all lowercase, B-A-L-L-E-R.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't clarify that, but just want to clarify that. The password is Ballers, and all lowercase. But getting back to the Mike Holmgren situation there in Cleveland, it just proves that great head coaches doesn't turn out to be great president of football operations or general manager. Some do. But Jim, in Mike Holmgren's case, this guy was a very good NFL head coach for a long time, won a Super Bowl with Green Bay, took him to another one and lost. He took a Seattle franchise to their first Super Bowl as a head coach. So a very solid football coach for many years in the NFL. He was offensive coordinator in San Francisco for quite some time during their glory years. So the guy has been a tremendous football coach in this league, but he just has not been able to get the Cleveland Browns over the hump from a personnel standpoint. You know, you can say he's made some – took too long to get a quarterback and things of that nature. And so it's really just hurt that franchise. And ever since Mike Holmgren has been president of football operations in Cleveland, the Browns have the second worst winning percentage since that time in the league. Only the Carolina Panthers has a worse winning percentage since Mike Holmgren has been president of football operations. So, and Joe Banner was already Mike Holmgren's assistant there in Cleveland. So this is, you know, a smooth transition practically, you know, to and I think Holmgren is going to go ahead and retire from football completely as a result of this. So Joe Banner is already there in the Cleveland organization right now, been an assistant to Holmgren. So Haslam comes in and is going to elevate him to oversee football operations. And the jury's still out on where Cleveland is going. The jury's still out on Brandon Wheaton being the future. And right now they're in contention for one of those top quarterbacks in the draft next year. So it will be interesting if they stick with Wheaton or if they stay in the top two or three picks in the draft. Do you go after Matt Barkley or do you go after Geno Smith or do you stick to Brandon Wheaton? So that will be interesting, and the jury's still out. But, you know, Holmgren, once again, has been a great football coach, just not a great president of football operations. And we wish him the best as he moves on to retirement.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because, the same thing you talk about, that quarterback decision, and now everyone's kind of like looking back at that because, I don't know if you remember, they had the opportunity actually to draft Robert Griffin III, but according to some things, and I guess the price for what the Rams were asking was a little too steep, they decided to go a different route and pick Trent Richardson. And then you have to question Mike Holmgren as well, because in addition to obviously moving up to get Brandon Wheaton, because everyone thought he was going to be there in the second round. So, you know, I don't know if that was a good decision or not. So, I mean, I'm not saying that Brandon Wheaton couldn't turn out to be a pretty decent quarterback, but you could have had RG3. That would have solved your quarterback problem. But, like you said, that's certain decisions that you have to look back and say, well, this is why this organization is not – making the right moves, right?
Well, I guess that's a very good point. Now, let's be clear here. The Browns never had the number two pick in the draft here.
No, but they did
have talks with the Rams for possibly getting the number two pick. And maybe, the Redskins did give up three first-round picks, and so far from what we can see, that could be, well spent, giving up three first-rounders for RG3. So we're not quite sure what the Browns were willing to do on that standpoint. And the jury's still out on Wheaton. This guy could very well put it in a good 4 or 5 years in the league, even at his age. And I will say from my eyes, or my four eyes, whatever you want to call them, from what I can see, Wheaton has improved every week this season. He started off looking really horrible. But he has gotten better, in my opinion, each and every week. And the Browns got their first win of the season this past Sunday. So we'll still see. But so far, obviously, RG3 is clearly the better prospect, and he's younger. And so you can still make a case that maybe they should have upped the price and upped the ante to the Rams in order to get the RG3.
Yeah, good job. Like I said, we could talk for this subject forever, but let's move on, sir. And let's talk about a big move with a certain team that's actually struggling in the Philadelphia Eagles. They actually fired their defensive coordinator, Juan Castillo. And so I guess what's going on with that? I mean, is this a move that's kind of a move out of desperation, Rob? What do you think about this, actually?
Well, this is, I just curious. I know Castillo struggled last year as a defensive coordinator. And let's keep in mind, Castillo's background is an offensive line coach, and he was actually a very good offensive line coach in the NFL for quite a few years. He asked Andy Reid for the defensive coordinator position on last season, and Andy Reid gave him the job, and he struggled last year as a defensive coordinator. Now, I will say, earlier this season, the Eagles looked like they were one of the best defensive teams in the league. And all of a sudden, they have a pretty nice lead against the Lions this past Sunday. And the Eagles give that up in less than 2 or 3 minutes. And everybody in Philadelphia is calling for the man's job. And Andy Reid comes out and supports him on Monday. But then today, he comes out and fires him. So to me, it just seemed like one of those rash decisions. And I don't see how this is going to benefit the Philadelphia Eagles, after 6 games in the regular season. And I just think that you make a decision like that, they look like a team that may be going downhill from here. I just don't think you can make that move this early in the season. And from what I saw early in the year, they were winning games despite of all the turnovers by the offense. And they were holding teams to field goals and things of that nature. So from what I can see, the Eagles were playing pretty solid defense for most of the season and keeping them in a lot of ball games when their offense was turning the ball over. And so I personally think this was a bad decision, and I just don't see how this is going to benefit them going through the rest of this season. I think this could be a team that could be going down fast.
That classical move of the whole thing, hey, you know, that the dreaded vote of support, and next year you get fired, so not a good move. And I think this has definitely something to do with Andy Reid. Maybe he's fearing his job because he's definitely in the hot seat as well, too. So maybe this is the end of an era. You don't hope that to actually happen, but kind of keep that situation definitely monitored as it goes on throughout the season, too, because obviously that's what the Falcons play after our bye week, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, too. So let's jump on. For those who want to call into the show, I'm going to throw the numbers out one more time. The number to call into the show is 424-243-9519, as Robert said. Show us your thoughts. Show us your love on Twitter, Facebook, all that fun stuff, at 12 Man Sports via Twitter. And also our Facebook page as well, Falcons Sports the 12th Man. So let's jump into some interesting topics. I'm sure you're going to want to elaborate on this, Robert, and kind of talk about the judge tells the dictator to hand over any documents regarding the bounty case. What do you think about this, sir?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, this is a story that just will not go away. And it's almost like the StarCat situation we had here a few years back here in the NFL. But this so-called bounty case is just would not go away. But as you know, the NFL, Roger Goodell, reduced a few of the suspensions on last. He came back and reissued suspensions again after a court, you know, removed the suspensions a few weeks back. So on last week, he came back and reissued suspensions. And Vilmos was the same, and Will Smith was the same. He reduced Scott Fujita's and Anthony Hargrove suspensions. And as you know, on this past Monday, Jonathan Vilma filed another lawsuit against the NFL and Goodell yet again. And now the judge is now saying, you know, the NFL has not shown enough evidence to suspend these players. So if there is evidence, the judge is asking the NFL to hand it over. Let us see it, and, you know, we want to see what kind of evidence you do have. And they also want to see some people that have given testimonies on this case. So this story is still yet unfolding, and the players are appealing, so they are allowed to play on this coming weekend. And we'll have to wait and see what the judge rules on this. And they may yet again throw out the suspensions that Goodell is trying to levy against the players. So this is a story that just will not end. And the players are still fighting it. And I tell you, some very harsh words last week by Scott Fujita against the dictator. I don't know if you heard, but Scott Fujita just levied into the commissioner's track record on player safety, his track record on handling the referees, his track record on handling the fans. I mean, some very harsh words against the dictator. So, we'll see how this goes. This story is still yet unfolding, and just do not seem like it's going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, Roger Goodell is definitely not making a good case for his legacy. Speaking about what Fujita said, and kind of talking about that too, because we're going to go right to the next topic about James Harrison, and he's had made a comment. He's had double digit concussions over this over his career. And basically he was pretty much saying that he actually did a good job as far as he did some research and actually has a new particular helmet. And his gripe or complaint against Goodell and the NFL was like, you know, they were doing all this stuff about finding players and putting on certain pads and stuff like that. But he's like, no one really talks about, you know, having something safety about helmets. So it is interesting how he actually talks about that, and you think that you know, like you said, it's not really a good look for Roger Goodell and all these different players kind of talking out against them, you know?
Yeah, and they have so many lawsuits right now against the NFL, and the game is just so fast and physical and violent. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Football is a collision sport. Whether people want to admit it or not, basketball is a physical sport. That's one thing, but football is a collision sport. And these guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, and they have to find a way to do something to stop these concussions. I don't know what it is. More research. You look at RG3, he had a concussion a week or so ago. I guess it was playing against the Falcons. Came mm-hmm. back 1 week later. Had a heck of a game this past week. But, I think the thing is they're going to have to come up with a rule in place that anybody that has a concussion has to sit out at least a week. And I think the Redskins are going to have some issues with this. Even though RG3 had a, great game, there's just got to be some more tests and more studying, that these players need to go through before they come back from a concussion. And I think there's just got to be some more safety issues that are being taken place in this. And just to my opinion, even though he had a great game, I don't think he should have been playing 1 week after having a concussion. And there needs to be a rule in place that I think at least 1 week these guys need to sit out if somebody's having a concussion. And it's a matter.
I understand, and not to cut you off, but I think it's kind of tough because if you do that, what if you're in like a 1 week playoff or something like that where you have to win that game? I mean, and you need that guy. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't put that guy's life on the line too, but maybe you have, obviously safer equipment. You do things that are kind of like more or less to kind of protect the players more. I mean, yeah, you can have more fines and that type of, like you said, look into ways to protect that player's head. I don't know, maybe it's a helmet, maybe it's more of a maybe a mouth guard or something like that. I don't know, because what if it came down to, your team, like you knew that, Drew Brees was out for a week and you needed him to win a playoff game. And you're like, oh, he's in the concussion program. You want that guy to play because that's your best shot to win. So, I don't know if that's the right answer, but we definitely got to figure out a way to make it safer for the players, legitimately make it safer for the players.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that standpoint. Now, there needs to be every preventive measure possible to prevent concussions. I totally agree
Correct.
With that.
Mm-hmm.
Every preventive measure. But once a player has a concussion, you have to be safe with putting them back in the game. And,
Correct.
Don't get me wrong. There has to be every preventive measure possible to prevent a concussion from the first place. But if a player gets a concussion, I think there's a healing process. There's some tests you need to prove. I just don't think a guy should be coming back 1 week after a concussion. And that's just, you got to think long-term about these players, too. That's why we have so many lawsuits that are taking place right now, with the NFL and things of that nature. I think, there has to be a procedure in place. If someone has a concussion, it's automatic rule. You sit out 1 week. That's just my opinion. But, like I said, it needs to be every preventive measure to prevent it from happening. But if it does happen, there needs to be some caution before you put them back in the game.
Gotcha. Let's move along, sir. Let's talk about some interesting things. If we can we kind of switch gears and talk about some fantasy shout-outs real quick, that's okay. Real quick, I got to give a shout-out to you because you've done a great job of trying to extend that lead in the college pick'em.
I'm pulling away.
Yeah,
man. What you going to do?
It's not good. I'm trying to question every pick that I make, which is why I'm letting you get the lead too. But congratulations to my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, on leading so far in the college pick'em. I'm not going to give up that easily, but congrats to you as well. I don't know if you want to shout out. And also, you won. You had the most points in our other league too. So a lot of love out to you. So I don't know if you want to shout out to anybody, show some love as well.
Yeah, had the largest victory in the 12-man sports fantasy football league, so that was great. Making a comeback in fantasy football, won 3 games in a row here. I got to keep it going. Also, shout out to Crazy Crew Wayne. It seems like we're giving him a shout out every week. He's still in first place overall in our 12-man sports fantasy football. Thanks to all of you again for competing with us. And just another quick announcement about fantasy basketball, just in case there's some of you who missed the beginning of the show. We still have room available. You can log on to Yahoo Sports. Our league ID is 48484, and our password is BALLERS, all lowercase, BALLERS. We still have space available for fantasy basketball for those of you all who are interested. But thank you all for continuing to play the college pick'em and our 12-man sports Fantasy Football League.
Like I said, hopefully Robert will get a chance to post it on Facebook too for those that don't get a chance to listen to that. But the information will be there. Show you guys some love too. Let's keep it going. So we got about 10 minutes or so left in the show. We got to talk about some 49er stuff because I know I got some folks that are anxious about this on the West Coast. But real quick, is Bill Belichick drinking the Skip Bayless Kool-Aid over here? Talking about that Tebow is a valuable player. What do you think about this statement, sir?
I tell you what, it seems like Tim Tebow gets mentioned on our show every week.
Oh,
and
man.
Some kind of
right.
way, he finds a way to get on our show. And, it's amazing. But here we go again. We got to talk about Tim Tebow. It's our weekly Tim Tebow conversation. But, you know, I guess my thing here with Bill Belichick, is this just coach speaking referring to Tim Tebow? Or is it, you know, Tebow a really valuable player? And I think it's actually a little bit of both. Of course, Belichick, you know, he's known to praise his opponent. And I think as a coach, you should do that. There's no doubt about it. Show respect to your opponent. And so I think it's a little bit of coach speak and a little bit of Tim Tebow being a valuable player. Does Tim Tebow bring some things to the table? Absolutely. I mean, goal line situations, you know, you can put him in the game. He can get that 2-3 yard quarterback sneak in for you. You saw they had a great fake punt where they snapped the ball to Tim Tebow and he threw the pass, got the team the first down. So, I mean, there are little trick plays like that that Tebow is going to help that ball club out. Is he the quarterback of the future? Absolutely not, in my opinion. And that's just all I have to say about Tim Tebow right now. If you want to elaborate, you could.
I just got somebody that Skip Bayless just called in and said that Tim Tebow was the greatest thing to ever play the game. He's got more of a great will. He will overcome anything that you say. He always does his win. Okay, I have Skip Bayless on there, so we'll see how that plays out. I just got a quick question, sir, for somebody just texted me a question. And we can skip about this, too, because we're going to talk about the top five teams in the NFL as well. But somebody said as a 49ers fan, should I be concerned about that game versus the New York football Giants? Should they be concerned as a 49er fan about that particular game, sir?
Well, that game just happened this past weekend. Yeah. are they referring to it? They should be concerned the way the 49ers played this past weekend? Is that the question?
Exactly. That's exactly the question. Yes, sir.
Well, I'll just say that I think the 49ers are going to rebound this week, and they're going to be at home against the Seahawks on a short week here Thursday night. I think the 49ers will rebound. Here's what I think about the New York Giants, though. When the New York Giants are clicking, they probably are the best team in football. That team has so much talent, probably has more defensive line talent than anybody in the league, and, very good wide receivers. Eli Manning may not be a top-five quarterback, but he might just be right underneath that. Ahmad Bradshaw is playing out of this world. I mean, that's a team with a lot of talent. You got to get Tom Coughlin and the GM there, Jerry Reese. He's done a phenomenal job putting together a great roster. I mean, they have some games where they lay an egg, but when they're on their A game, that team is loaded with talent. Like I said, when they're on their A game, there's hardly anybody in the NFL that can beat them, and they proved that against the 49ers this past weekend. So I think the 49ers will bounce back, and I still like the 49ers to win the NFC West.
Yeah, we like that, too. And I think the interesting fact about it, too, is, like, every team has, we like to call, I mean, challenges. I mean, last week we were down on the Packers. We're like, oh, they have no running game. You know, next thing you know, they actually whipped up on what we thought was the best team in the NFL at the time in the Texans. And then like you said, the way the Giants are playing. I mean, the Giants, they don't really have that great of a secondary. I'm not going to have an all right secondary. I mean, Andrew Roll's playing his butt off. But like you said, you know, that defensive line keeps them in there, too. And as you mentioned, it's kind of one of those situations where they kind of lull you to sleep. And the next thing you know, like you said, everything clicks. Defensive line gets pressure. It makes a very, very underrated or overrated in San Francisco quarterback Alex Smith look really, really bad. So, like I said, 49er fans, don't go too crazy or don't come off that ledge because I know they kind of were waiting for that one shoe to drop as far as their criticism about Alex Smith because before, he was been playing a very, very great couple of games, you know. So, I don't know. It's kind of one of the situations, too, where I don't think they should be that crazy, but I'm curious to hear everybody out there on the West Coast and their opinions about Mr. Alex Smith, because certain guys are lightning rods, and he's definitely a lightning rod if he's the guy. I know you hear some rumors if Peyton Manning didn't select Denver, Alex wouldn't have a job. But, you know, this is his first guy that he's had the same offensive coordinator for the past couple of years, so you got to give him some credit, you know?
Yes, and I think, you know, the 49ers, Alex Smith, they just want him to play ball control offense, don't turn the ball over, and they want to win with great defense. And
yeah.
They just had some things that just didn't go their way against the Giants, turnovers, and you have to give the Giants credit. I mean, the Giants get up for a lot of big games, and they do have a talented roster. I didn't think the Giants would go out there and beat them, but they did, and
no,
you have
no,
to give them credit. And but they do. I'm not surprised. Like I said, the Giants have a, you know, staple of talent, and you know, it'd be hard pressed to find another team with as much talent from top to bottom as the Giants have on their roster.
Gotcha, gotcha. If you want to throw us your thoughts, my West Coast folks, I'm waiting to hear from you. 424-243-9519. That's the number. Hit us up Facebook. Hit us up via Twitter at 12th Man Sports as well. Let's talk about the top five teams, sir. And I'm going to – this is Andre not going on anything that, you know, obviously we do like a lot of research for the show, but if I just said just straight up just how I'm feeling right now, this is who I have, top five. And, you know, I'm going to sound a little biased being a Falcon fan, but since they're 6-0, you got to go Falcons because they're the only undefeated team. Number two, I know they took a tough one to the Packers, but I'm still going to go with the Texans. I'm actually going to go number three to the Giants, number four to our Packers, who handled the business versus the Texans, and number five, yes, we're still going to show them some love to the 49ers. So that's my top five, sir. Curious to hear what your top five is, Mr. Ford.
Okay, I'm going to go number one, Falcons as well. Just like you said, they are the only team that's 6-0 right now, so you have to give credit where credit is due. And so definitely I have to say the Falcons are definitely the number one team in the league right now, with the Texans losing this past weekend. Number two, I'm going to go to New York Football Giants. This is a team, as we just mentioned, when they're on, and they're definitely hard to beat. And they may be getting hot here for a good run here, but we'll have to see. They do lay an egg sometimes, but I like the Giants number two. I dropped the Texans down to number three. There are some slight concerns, you know, Brian Cushing out for the season. Have to see if they can bounce back from that. Number four, I'm going to talk about a team that's just quietly just whipping folks in. It's the Chicago Bears.
Ooh.
And this team might be playing best defense football in the league right now, and nobody's talking about them. I mean, they're 4-1 and playing outstanding football. They've been very impressive in just about every game that I've seen them play. Lovie Smith's got a good ball club going in Chicago right now. And I want to go to number five, Baltimore Ravens, another team has only lost one game this season, playing well. They do have some defensive concerns. Ray Lewis has been out for the season now, and Ladarius Webb also been out for the season. So it would be interesting to see if they can keep playing the way they're playing. And so they have a couple of things that they're going to have to overcome. And that should be interesting. We're gonna, in our OT portion here, we're going to be talking about the Ravens at Texans along with a few other NFL games. So for those of you all please tune into our OT section. You can catch it. You can listen to it. blogtalkradio.com/12thmansports. You can listen to it on tomorrow while you're at lunch or driving in the car or just bored and sitting need something to do. Tune in and listen to our predictions for tomorrow. For this weekend's NFL games and this weekend's college football games. But other than that, join us next Tuesday night, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 Pacific for our friends in Hawaii, 5 p.m. We haven't figured out what time that is in Germany yet. We hear we have some listeners in Germany. Hopefully I'll remember to get that time for our listeners in Germany of exactly what time that is. Any closing thoughts, Andre?
No, like I said, as Robert talked about, shout-outs to Cousin Mario. What's up, sir? Hope you're listening to us. Amsterdam, it's actually 5 a.m. in the morning. It's like 5:30, so that's kind of early for them too. So anyway, they're like almost 8 hours ahead of us, but we appreciate that. Tokyo, it's about 12:30 or so. Thank you guys for listening to us. Yes, tune into the OT portion of the show. We're going to talk about more of our predictions for this NFL weekend's games. We're going to talk about college football, a lot of things. Tell your friends, like us.
A little baseball, too.
Yeah, and some baseball, too, if you can fit that in, too. We've got another 15 minutes or so. We'll talk to you guys in a
Good night, world.
Good night, world. Thank you, and we will talk soon. All right, Rob, the OT portion is kicking off, so let's talk about some predictions for this weekend. You talked about it. We kind of teased them with the Ravens and the Texans. And as you said in the last part of the show, Ravens are dealing with some defensive challenges. Obviously, Ray Lewis is out for the year with that torn tricep. It'd be kind of sad if this is kind of his last game of his career because, you know, obviously a lot of things that he was going through and, you know, thinking about as far as retiring and watching his son play football for the U. And obviously losing Brian Cushing for the Texans and, you know, obviously LaDarius Webb for the Ravens. I'm kind of jumping back and forth here. But I think that's going to definitely affect the Ravens. And you kind of hope that Terrell Suggs comes back somehow, kind of brings some more stability to that defense. But right now, that's a big, big blow for the Ravens.
Yes, it really is. I think you're going to see. I think this team is going to drop slightly here in the coming weeks. And I think it is going to I think losing LaDarius Webb is a bigger loss than losing Ray Lewis. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think Lewis, you lose a leader and a guy who's the heart and soul of the team, but as an actual player, he's not what he used to be. But LaDarius Webb is an impact corner. He impacts the game at the corner position as well as a return man, a very good football player, and who's very underrated as a corner in this league, and I think that's going to be a big blow. It's really hard to replace, starting corners in this league. So I like the Texans in this game. I think they're going to rebound at home and come back here and get this win against the Ravens this coming weekend.
Nice. Like I said, that's going to be interesting. So I think they're going to win as well. Ravens may have too much to overcome, so we'll see how that plays out. Let's talk about another pretty good pick that you actually put. The Cardinals at the Vikings. Now, the Cardinals kind of started off the season a lot of hype. They were kind of doing their thing, being undefeated as well. They've actually lost a couple games here. And they're going against a very surprising Vikings team that we kind of picked last in the division in the NFC North. And I think they're still going to be last, but I don't think they're going to have that bad of a record. I think the Vikings are playing very well. Christian Ponder is doing a lot of good things. Adrian Peterson has actually surprised a lot of people being healthy on that surgically repaired knee. I think they're actually going to, man, this is a tough game. I actually think they're going to pull out only because they're at home versus a team and the Cardinals is trying to figure out their identity.
Yeah, I like the Vikings in this game too. You got to give Leslie Frazier a lot of credit. He's been a great defensive coordinator in this league. You finally see their defense coming into its own this season. Had a little bit of a letdown against the Redskins. They had a hard time defending RG3, but there's been a lot of teams that have trouble defending RG3 this year. So the Vikings had a little bit of a letdown, but I expect them to respond going against more of a conventional offense this coming week against the Cardinals. I like the Vikings, and Christian Ponder is one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in this league. He's been very solid in his second year this year with the Vikings. So I think they definitely have something to look forward to there in Minnesota. And I like the Vikings to win this game. And last but not least, if you want to talk about the Seahawks at the 49ers, who we also briefly talked about in our live portion a little earlier this evening.
Yeah, like you said, I think, and you got to give Russell Wilson some credit, man. The Seahawks doing a bang-up job and upsetting. They play the Patriots. Oh, they upset. Am I right with that?
Yeah,
man.
Impact. Yeah.
That's an amazing, amazing thing. Like I said, I'm going to give them a shout out, but I think the 49ers are going to handle business. I think they're kind of mad about what happened with the Giants, so they're going to be focused. It's going to be a lot tougher game than what we're expecting, but I do think the 49ers are going to pull out this game.
Yes, I do like the 49ers. I think, Russell Wilson, a rookie quarterback, playing on a short week, going on the road into a hostile environment. And, so I definitely am very impressed with Russell Wilson, but I don't see them going on a short week, going on the road to beat the 49ers this week.
Got some love for you 49er fans, so stop beating up on Alex Smith for right now. So we'll keep it going, as always. Let's jump, kind of switch gears and talk about some college football. And I like where we're going to talk about some predictions for the weekend, a lot of our big games. And I love how this is a great topic. Kansas State, will they win the Big 12? And right now, the number 4 team in the nation, is kind of doing their thing, and I'm very impressed, as you talked about before, with Bill Snyder. You talk about an incredible coach, great guy, doing his thing. Klein is running up and down, throwing, passing. I mean, their defense is solid. I mean, the answer to that, I think, is a resounding yes right now. Even though Texas Tech kind of threw a wrinkle to everything with a nice win over West Virginia, but right now you got to like Kansas State and where they are in the driver's seat right now.
Yes, they are, and you know, we've mentioned it. We've talked about Bill Snyder in some previous shows here. He's probably one of the more underrated coaches in college football. And it's amazing. He elevated that Kansas State program to greatness. Then he retired, and Kansas State went right back down to being a putrid program. He comes out of retirement, and he brings them right back up. And
man,
it's amazing. I mean, what he's been able to do with Kansas State, and historically they have not been a football power by any stretch of the imagination. But Bill Snyder has done a tremendous job with that program. He's not getting the talent that Texas is getting. He's not getting the talent that Oklahoma is getting. He's not getting the talent that Oklahoma State is getting, or just about any other team that's in the Big 12 right now. But what he's doing, he's developed a solid program. He's finding players that fit his system and scheme. Even if he's got a redshirt guy, to mold them into what he wants them to be, he's doing a tremendous job running that program. And I have to be honest with you, I don't know who's going to win the Big 12. It's so much of a crapshoot. And, you know, Kansas State goes to West Virginia this weekend. We're going to talk about that in a second in our predictions here. And but they still have some pretty tough games with Texas and things of that nature. So I would have to be honest with you, I'm very clueless on who's going to win the Big 12. And but I'm just going to go out on a limb and agree with you and say that they will win the Big 12. And I don't see, you know, I think Oklahoma is playing really well now, but they've already lost to Kansas State. So Kansas State would almost have to lose two games, and I don't see that happening. And for Oklahoma to win the Big 12, because obviously they're both tied at one game each as a loss, then Kansas State wins the tiebreaker because they beat Oklahoma. So I don't see Kansas State losing twice, so I'm going to agree with you and say Kansas State wins the Big 12. But I think they will lose a game.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of coaching, too. Like to talk about, I think coaching out does talent like all the time. For some reason, if you have a good coach, he's able to get the most out of his players, too. But let's talk about that game, too, since we're kind of already here. Number four, Kansas State, they are actually they're playing number 13, West Virginia. West Virginia is actually a 2.5-point favorite. And there's two numbers I'm gonna throw it out to you, Robert. 16.5 and 37.3. What do you think those numbers are if I would have told you?
16.5 and 37.3?
Yes, sir.
Wow. 16.5 and 37.3. Okay, I'm lost.
okay, I'm going to tell you right now. Those are the defensive numbers. 16.5 is the average points that Kansas State is giving up on defense, and 37.3 is the average points per game West Virginia is giving up.
Wow.
So I say that to say this is why this is an interesting game, because obviously we've been a big fan of Geno Smith. I'm a fan of Geno Smith. What Texas Tech did to them last week was pretty amazing. I'm sure no one expected that. But they're going to go into a very, very tough Kansas State team that's only given up 16 points a game, very similar to what Texas Tech did. And the way that West Virginia defense is playing, I don't think that it's going to be a tight game, but I think that Kansas State is actually going to pull this game out. And not because I don't like Geno Smith, but I just think that that defense of West Virginia is just too much that they're giving up. They're kind of like a salve, if you will.
Yes, this West Virginia's defense is horrific. Or as Charles Barkley would say, terrible.
Terrible.
So that, yes. T-U-R-R-I-B-L-E. But I actually think West Virginia is going to find a way to win this game in the shootout. I don't think West Virginia is going to be in the 50s or 60s, but I look at it like a 38-35 kind of victory at home. West Virginia can be a hostile environment. Kansas State having to travel, you know, a good distance across the country. And so I like West Virginia in this game at home. And I think this would be Kansas State's only loss in the Big 12. I think they'll beat Texas. They'll beat all the other schools in the Big 12, and they'll win the tiebreaker. against Oklahoma. So I like West Virginia in this game.
Gotcha. Good job. Let's talk about another big game, number 6 LSU versus number 18 Texas A&M. LSU is a 3.5-point favorite, and I got to give you some props because you actually called it right. Last week, South Carolina, they felt like they were world beaters going against, they looked like they can beat anybody at home versus Georgia. They go on the road, or they struggled again, and they struggled against a very, very tough environment, as you called it, in Death Valley.
LSU don't lose at night, Death Valley.
They don't lose at night, yeah. You got to understand, too, this is interesting, too. A question I'm going to ask you, Rob, but you'll have enough time, is with all the talent that LSU has, how come they can't get a quarterback? The floor is yours, sir.
Well, I think that's a very legitimate question. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm a little concerned of the way coaching has developing quarterbacks at LSU right now. I think I'm really concerned about that. Jimbo Fisher, and I think he was a very good quarterbacks coach at LSU. He's not a head coach at Florida State. And it seems as though we have not done a good job as far as developing quarterbacks since he's left. And so that is a little bit of a concern. I don't have any question that Zach Mettenberger has the talent. This guy's got an arm. He has the mock. He's got the talent. And, you know, he still has a little bit of, to learn and things of that nature. I thought he was solid but not spectacular this past week against South Carolina. And so he still has some room for growth. I really would be curious to see how he bounces back the rest of the season and when he comes back for his senior year. But it should be real interesting. Now, LSU does have two very good quarterback recruits coming in next season, and one of them is one of the top pro-style quarterbacks in the country. He's coming from California, coming to LSU, and the other one is right there from the Atlanta area. He's more of a dual-threat kind of quarterback. From Marietta, Georgia. They're both coming to LSU next year. So they'll be, of course, freshmen next year. Probably won't see much of them next season. They'll probably be redshirted because you still have Philip Rivers' younger brother, backing up Zach Mettenberger right now. So I think there's talent on the way. You know, there's a little bit of concern about how these guys are being coached. And so we'll have to – I think the talent is coming to LSU, even at quarterback. You know, there's just a little bit of concern about how they're being coached.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was just asking, I wasn't trying to, like, you know, beat up on you. I was just very curious because, you know, you have a lot of talent in LSU. They've built their, you know, their haven on being that physical defensive line, offensive line, and some of that, and talent outside. But for some reason, they haven't been able to, obviously besides the Jamarcus Shruckles of the world, having a really strong quarterback. So we'll see how that plays out for sure.
Yeah. But I will say LSU has had a strong offensive line under Les Miles since he's been there. And this year, LSU has been beaten up on the offensive line with injuries. So that's I'll defend Zach Mettenberger just slightly. I still don't think he's been that great, but we've had a lot of turnover on the offensive line with injuries this year. And but I was very impressed with the way they played against South Carolina. They pushed South Carolina around quite a bit, had over 400 some yards of offense. So hopefully some of these young guys on the offensive line are stepping up to replace some of these guys that have been injured. And I like them to go on the road and beat Texas A&M this weekend.
Yeah, same thing. We got about 2 minutes, so let's wrap this up real quick. Let's talk about South Carolina, Florida. Florida's favored by 3 points. I like Florida in a tough, tough game only because South Carolina's going to struggle on the road. And I think it's kind of a battle of quarterbacks, and I think Jeff Driscoll has a slight edge over Connor Shaw in this particular game.
I like South Carolina going on the road and get this win. Steve Spurrier's going to have them ready to rebound. I don't think Florida is as good as their ranking and record indicates. I like South Carolina going on the road and get this win.
Texas A&M at TCU. Texas Tech are 2.5-point favorites in this game. I like Texas Tech. They're riding on that high. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. What are your thoughts, sir?
I like the way Tommy Tuberville has his team playing. I like Texas Tech to go on the road. They're playing great defense, too. I like them to get this win as well.
Real quick, as a wrap-up, let's get some last baseball thoughts here. What do you think about the playoffs, sir? As we wrap up
The Yankees just lost again, so they're down 3-0. So you got to say the Detroit Tigers, are going to be in the World Series. And I look for the San Francisco Giants to join them here eventually. And I think the Tigers has the pitching, Justin Verlander. And so right now, it seems like I have a new prediction in baseball every week, but I'm going to say the Tigers are going to win it all and beat the Giants.
It's going to be great. Going to be a classic series, too, Tigers versus Giants. Once again, thank you guys for listening to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Ford, joined by Robert Ford. Tune in next week. We've got a lot of fun things we're going to talk about. Obviously, the continuation of the playoffs. We're going to keep NFL talk, and hopefully we'll talk some NBA if we get a chance to fit that in as well. Fantasy, obviously, we'll talk about, obviously, our new fantasy basketball.